Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The war in Ukraine continues to rage. Professor Joe Ansi van Wyk, Professor of International Politics at the University of South Africa, joins us this morning to give us an update as to what is going on there. Good morning, Professor. Thanks for doing so. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. And thank you for having me.
So what is the latest? We see that Jill Biden is there. Everybody seems to be popping into Kiev lately. It's definitely the place to be, right?
Yeah, as you know, even here in South Africa, the leader of the opposition party has also visited Ukraine. First of all, just note on the visits. I think it is a sign of international solidarity and also to keep the morale of Ukrainians, of course, very high to have all these high-profile individuals there. And we may not be aware of all their international humanitarian work that may be linked to this. So what is going on in the war? Yesterday we saw Vladimir Putin addressing the annual victory parade in Moscow, commemorating Russia's victory over Nazi Germany. And that was also, I suppose, from the Russian side, a morale booster. So most of the war has now shifted predominantly to the east in the Donbas region, Luhansk and Donetsk, which is a coal-rich area of Ukraine that has been supported and, of course, recognized by Putin on the eve of the war as independent republics, but also that has been supported since 2014 when Russia invaded the Crimea. So the fact that Russia has been pushed back, so to say, is of course a sign that Western assistance, military assistance to Ukraine has had some effect on the war, although we see Russia striking cities such as Odessa in the, southwest, and then also of course still targeting Lviv ever so often, and then of course there is the growing and the desperate humanitarian situation at the Azovstal installation and of course in Mariupol.
There's been a lot of talk, and I don't know, I can't get a sense if this is just propaganda, if this is sent as a message to Putin himself, but there's a lot of talk around Putin's health that I'm seeing bubbling up in different forms. I can't get a sense of if this is real or not. What is your sense?
Yeah, on my side also, there seems to be a lot of speculation that he is not healthy. We've seen also reports of course, his psychological state of mind. A lot of scholars has have weighed in on that. We do not know. And of course, typically in the Russian environment where public debates are not allowed, there will of course be no discussion on that as well as no denial. And you can imagine that whatever the state of his health will not be will not be released. We have seen Putin yesterday speaking. He looks healthy from a distance, but we know that if he has cancer, as has been reported, he can still continue because he will definitely get some of the best medical assistance that there is. We do not know whether that is simply propaganda from the West, and we will have to wait and see whether we have confirmations of that or not.
Right. And again, there's been talking about propaganda. Their whole message is that they are liberating Ukraine from this Nazi stronghold. We saw that reaction when the foreign minister made a comment that, well, Zelensky might be Jewish, but Hitler, he said there's speculation around Hitler's ancestry being Jewish and some of the worst anti-Semites are Jewish. They did apologize for that. But we are seeing this push from Russia to the notion that they are liberating Ukraine from Nazism. Is there any basis whatsoever to that? Does Ukraine have a history of this, or is this just pure Russian manipulation?
Yes, thank you. That, of course, is utmost in our minds in the way that this war has been put forward and, of course, justified. There is in the Ukrainian society, as I suppose all societies, of course, left-wing and right-wing supporters. The true extent of Nazis or neo-Nazis in the Ukraine is of course depending on who you listen to. What we do know is that the war has caused tremendous solidarity and unity in the Ukrainian population, and my impression is that any division that may have been has been overturned. We know that there has been reports of this one particular military unit that has a sign that resembles the swastika that has been denied as a direct meaning to that. It will be relevant and important to study the history of that unit. We know that military insignia may sometimes also refer to the history of a particular unit, and of course that deserves more attention. But as Putin yesterday also reminded his audience, is that the victory of Russia over Nazi Germany is still a very important point of reference for Russia. That is regarded as one of their shining moments in history. Although, of course, the same recognition is, of course, not given to what Stalin has done to millions of Russians. And, of course, this focus on the Nazi victory, of course, is of course very important in terms of the propaganda that Putin is perpetuating and that as successive Russian leaders have perpetuated. It is a moment in their history, irrespective of whether they are doing well or not, that is a point of reference to rally people around an issue. Putin yesterday also referred to the sacred obligation to defend the motherland, and of course then that the victory in 1945 is, and quote, intimately dear to us, unquote, the Russians. And we must also remember that Putin has to have a justification for what he is doing in Ukraine. And to use that argument is, of course, to destabilize what is happening in Ukraine, to discredit Zelensky as a leader, but also then to ride the wave again of this moment in history when the country has liberated Nazis. So we know that denazification has, of course, taken place in most parts of Europe. What I would like to see is, of course, a de-Russification also of the old Soviet republics. And that, of course, is what Ukraine has struggled very hard since it became independent to do. And that is also what we see now, is that strong consolidation of Ukrainian identity. But from Moscow, the repeated point is that there is no country such as Ukraine. Ukraine is part of Russia. But Russia has signed a number of agreements, the so-called Minsk agreements in the post-1990 era, that of course recognize the independence. And of course those facts and those commitments are conveniently denied or not put into the public arena.
And of course that is really what this is about. We don't really have a lot of time. In fact, we've got less than a minute. But is there any way that Putin will back down?
No, I do not think so, and that of course is the extreme concern of this war, that he is not a man that prefers diplomacy. Of course he will receive diplomats and he will do the diplomatic rituals, but he will not back down. He is bent on a mission to restore Russia's historical glory. He is bent on what he has regarded as the humiliation of Russia, and of course the West's encroachment on Russia's history and its territories, old territories, and of course it wants to see, to have that access to a warm water port in the south. And Putin is a man on a historical mission that has already seen a bloody nose, that the blitzkrieg that he intended and the Forsthof has not realized And he, of course, will not leave this without making a huge stand. And, of course, as he said yesterday, to defend the fatherland is a blood sacrifice.
Wow,
and
wow, wow.
Because that is so strong in the Russian psyche, he will continue and he will be supported in his mission.
Professor Joansi van Wyk, Professor of International Politics at the University of South Africa, updating us on the war in Ukraine.